Raidieraksts drošinātājs. Sveiki, Natālija.
Sveiki.
You are a Ukrainian, a professional singer in State Academic Choir of Latvia.
Yes.
How come?
Well, it was an unexpected road for myself. When the war started, my job in Kyiv was kind of frozen, and I used to work in Kyiv choir. And at some point, I understood that I need to move forward because we don't know what will happen and if I'm going to have job continue or what will happen at all. So I've decided to try myself abroad, right to the State Choir Latvia, and I got an audition and I got in. That's how it happened.
You said you were in a choir in Kyiv. Was it also a professional choir?
Yes, it was a professional chamber choir named Kryshatik after our main street in Kyiv. It was academic choir. We had different kind of programs. It was also like some Gariga Musica, something with more popular songs, different music. But also in Kyiv, we have many choirs, professional choirs. I would say that it's more than in Latvia. But on the other side, we have much less amateur choirs, which I think we need to learn from Latvians how to do that in a better way.
Right.
Yes.
But you came to Latvia in 2022. So the decision to move away from Ukraine was taken after the full-scale invasion?
Yes, it was basically after 1 month. Because as I told, my job was kind of frozen. We didn't have any salary and I needed to do something. So first 2 weeks of a full invasion, I was in Kyiv. We were together with my mother and my fiance. It was a very hard period because no one understood anything. And right now we know much more about how to be safe in a situation of like bombing and rockets and missile attacks and everything like that. That time it was just chaos in a way, and many things were happening so fast. So after 2 weeks, we left for western part of Ukraine just to make some plans and understand what is going on and how to deal with everything. We lived in a small village with friends. It was very weird at that point to plan a trip to Latvia because basically we packed from Kyiv to the village. And after that, when you need to have the same backpack and go to Latvia with no kind of proper outfit or something, it was just so... Right now it's funny. At that time it was just, what is going on? It's so crazy. Yeah. I was very happy that in State Choir Latvia is one of the choirs that you can literally write and they could make an audition for you without any specific like competition or like seasoning stuff. It's in every choir, it's different rules. And here it was very welcoming and suitable situation for me to come. And I was very happy.
So did you do the auditioning online from the village in Ukraine, or how was it?
No, I've sent my CV, I've sent some recordings, some information about myself, and I just got asked to come for an audition offline. Just I needed to come because no, that's normal stuff. You need to hear the voice properly in the live conditions, not only in the video. So that was kind of a huge risk. But also, I understood that I need to take a chance because I don't have many options. I had a few more auditions planned, but that was the first one and already successful one. So I stayed here.
Had you been in Latvia before?
No, that was my first time being in Latvia. And I just heard a lot from my mother. She always wanted to be here. She always wanted to visit. And now when I already for a few years here that she visited me and I showed her beautiful places here. And it was so kind of touching moment for me to help her with her dream to be here. And that's very nice.
But have you heard anything about Latvian choir music before you came here? About the maybe State Choir Latvia?
Yes.
Why did you write exactly to them?
Of course, I've heard about State Choir Latvia, about Latvian Radio Choir. I've heard many recordings and I knew about the status and the level of choir music here. Also because at some competitions in Ukraine and abroad, many of my friends told about some great young conductors that are having like Latvian School of Conducting. And it was already a great level that I heard of. And I just knew that for my profession, it would be nice to try countries that are actually interested in this profession. Here it is popular. And this is kind of a dream life for a choir master, for a conductor, for a singer, choir singer, because you have so many possibilities to express yourself. You are valued and everything is just on such a great level.
As I understand, you're not the only Ukrainian in State Choir Latvia.
Yeah, Serhii, he's my fiance and he got the opportunity to come here as a student when the war started already. But he was a student in Ukraine and he got the legal reason to come abroad. It was made in the documentation that you can study in a practice. Like, so he went here and he got in a choir and he ended his master's degree also here. First time he ended master's degree in Ukrainian Academy, but from Latvia. And then he entered Latvian Music Academy also for master's degree. And he also ended in Professor Weissmann's class here.
So in the time of desperation, when your country was attacked, nobody knew of how it's going to turn out, when many people suggested that it's going to be, 3 days or 3 weeks and Ukraine is going to fall. You left the country, you came to Latvia. It has been a positive one
change, yeah,
positive change, right? Out of this whole bad situation.
Yes, unfortunately, I also thought about that a lot, how something terrible can lead you to something good. And it's such a weird synthesis, like you feeling very well on your professional career and your kind of life changed in such a huge way, but it happened because of something so terrible. So that's a very big consonance in both of our lives, in mine and Serhii's. But still, we understand that it was a necessary choice. And right now, when we can afford to help our families in Ukraine, to send them some money or just like let them come here to us to help them in many ways that we couldn't be able to do in Ukraine, this is something that make us grateful and understand that it was the right choice, that it was not the abandonment, but it was something that is helpful.
Right. And it also massively helps, I guess, that your fiance is with you and you're not alone in a foreign country, right?
Yes, that's such a huge difference. I had a friend who also went abroad after me. She went in Vilnius in their choir. Her husband, he had to stay in Ukraine and she worked for a year and she came back to Ukraine because she, without a family, without your loved ones, it's just pointless to have whatever you have. It just, if you don't have anyone to share it with and you don't have, and you are alone, it's just so much harder. So yeah, it's just a blessing.
I will do an exception in this interview and I'll ask next question in Latvian. So Latvian listeners can hear how you speak Latvian. And the question is going to be about when a person lives in another country, they eventually realize that, when you meet new people, the first 3, 5, 6 questions are basically the same because, people are interested in you, but they have the same questions over and over again. And you probably already know the answers to them like a poetry. My question would be, kādi ir tie pirmie jautājumi, ko jums parasti uzdod šeit Latvijā, kad jūs satiekat jaunus cilvēkus?
Jā, varbūt cik līdzīgas ir kultūras, Ukrainas un Latvijas kultūras, un man tiešām ir liels prieks pateikt, ka mēs esam līdzīgi un mūsu dziesmas un mūsu domas, un es domāju, tāpēc, ka mūsu vēsturē ir līdzīgas situācijas, būt okupācija, zināt, kas tas ir būt Krievijas okupācijas, un tāpēc es jūtu tik lielu atbalstu no Latvijas valsti un cilvēkiem un manam kolēģiem, no visiem cilvēkiem, kuri ir mana dzīve šeit. Un es domāju, tāpēc mēs esam tik stipri kopā.
Okay, now let's get back to English. Has the response to you as a Ukrainian who has come to Latvia changed in the past 3 years?
Well, in my personal experience here, I wouldn't say that anything changed much. I know people are still very responsive in my circle of communication. Like, everyone is looking for the news. Everyone knows what's happening. I have colleagues who are still in such a... They are helping as much as they can. Recently, we had a charity concert with State Choir Latvia to help Ukrainian soldiers to get medicines for them. Also, on the last few years, we had few charity concerts with different choirs, with Choir Juventus, that I had been a choir master there, with the ensemble Eld Music, with Ukrainian half Latvian ensemble Eld Music. It's elder music ensemble leading by Serhii Zadorozhny. And we also had two charity concerts there. So, and I feel also in the audience that everyone is still very fresh and very, they pay attention to everything that's happening. That makes a peace inside myself and inside, like, Serhii's also heart, because we can help not only with our words or thoughts, but we literally do it because here is such a nice people who are agreeing to doing this, and we can help literally, like, raise donation or just popularize Ukrainian music culture, choir culture. And I know that many people find it very interesting and something new for themselves, because as we talked about, like, how choir culture popular here, and some new music is always like make a good resonation in the audience. Also, I can't be more grateful to everyone surrounding me in Valstkoris and in just in life here, because they had such a huge impact and they gave me personally great help when I arrived. Because as I told you, I arrived with one backpack and I didn't have anything, and I needed to do many things in such a short period of time. And when I rented the first flat here, I didn't have anything. And my colleagues basically collected just a huge amount of stuff and get it to me. And I was shocked because I wouldn't be able to do it myself. And I didn't expect that much help. And it was just life-changing in many, many ways. So forever grateful to them. And I can surely say that they are paying attention. They are not getting tired, as right now is like a popular way to say it.
When the full-scale invasion happened, quite many Latvian musicians took upon themselves to sing some songs in Ukrainian. We can mention Prata Vatra, Tautu Meitas, Vilkači, and some others, and choirs as well. We're singing not only National Anthem, but Червона.
Oh, you lose it, Червона Калина.
Червона Калина, yeah. So it was introduction to Ukrainian culture as well. But when you came here, a professional singer from Ukraine with a good professional background, and you came to one of the best choirs in Latvia, you had to sing Latvian, I guess, right?
Yeah.
How was that experience, trying to sing but in a language that is totally foreign for you?
Well, that was actually also a cool story, because Maris Irmais, he took me in immediately. Like, I had an audition and he told me, like, in 3 days we have a concert. Will you participate already? And I said, yes, of course, like, why not?
Really?
I'm not the quiet one. I can take responsibility. And he said, okay, it's something from Bach music and also some Latvian music. He told me that you will have some scores. And for those 3 days, that was the full immersion in Latvian language. For the things that I love about Latvian language is that very logical. So you can read it. And as a singer, that's a huge deal, because I can read it even if I don't understand it. I just need to learn, like, the letters. I need to learn some kind of rules, how to make it vocally correct. But basically, I can read it anyway. And this is, for a singer, literally the deal breaker. And especially when we sing something like in the French language or Italian or German, and when you need to do so many extra things that is not written. So in Latvian, that's not a question. You just learn the rules and you just sing much faster. So yeah, that was very fun.
So really, your first concert was 3 days after you were taken in?
Yes, that's true.
And you sang in Latvian?
Yeah, we sang in Doma Baznice with Andris Veismanis, actually. It was end of March.
To sing in a state choir of Latvia is probably a dream of so many people in Latvia. Because, you know, that's an echelon of choir singing in Latvia. And here you are. You came to Latvia and sung 3 days after the audition. That's a crazy story, actually, right?
Yeah. It was a surprise for everyone, I would say. Yeah. But also, I'm glad that I could be in this choir and I could grow and also to give something from my like voice and my ability to this choir. That's also a great honor for me.
So basically the lyrics to the songs were like your first steps into learning Latvian language, right? That was
yes,
passive teacher or something like that.
Yeah. After that, I took like 2 courses, upgrade my Latvian. It just, I understand that for some people, it would be weird that after 3 years, I still not give an interview in Latvian fluently. For me, I know that I am able to understand most of things, if not everything that people tells me. And so at work, I'm totally useful. So I know what the conductor wants from me and I can work properly. I can speak in normal life and day-to-day life. I just don't want to bother the listeners with my mistakes and stuff.
I talked to you before the interview. We talked in Latvian and I can attest to that your Latvian is really good. But is there a word that still you cannot get to the pronunciation correctly? I mean, some nasty word in Latvian that really makes problems for you.
I would say it's not about pronunciation in my case, but an understanding of logic of some things. Because in Latvian, there's a lot of stuff that, like, you have a word, and then you have this few letters before the word, like atsutit, nosutit, this kind of stuff. And when I need to understand what is the difference between using this word in a normal life, that's main things for me. Like right now, I just need to understand why it's have like one word and 7 variation of it. You just don't need to. And it's sometimes changing the meaning completely for some words. So yeah, that's more complicated than pronunciation itself.
But you are not only a singer at the Latvian State Choir, you are also a, as I read, vocal teacher, or you said choir master of the, also one very well-known choir, mixed choir, Juventus. How did that job come around?
Yeah, I've been vocal teacher and choir master for, I would say, 1.5 years in choir Juventus. My colleague, Valdis Thompsons from State Choir Latvia, he is a chief conductor there. He offered me this position and we worked together very happily and very productive. But from this September in 2024, I decided to leave the choir and I got also a job in Medinė Vidus Skola.
Okay.
As a choir teacher with Vilhelms Vācietis together. So that was a change for me, mostly because of schedule situation, because many amateur choirs working like in the late evenings. And if you have like a normal job from the early mornings, that it's a bit messing with the schedule. But I loved to work there a lot, and I was shocked how good the choir could sound, like choir of not professional singers. I know that it's like one of the best choir in Latvia, amateur choir in Latvia, but still it was such a shock for me because I could bring some scores and we made like this 2-charity concert with them, with the Ukrainian program, and they're just singing from the scores like it's no big deal. And I was just shocked, like, how are you doing this? You're not supposed to be that good.
What have been the highlights of your singing career here in working in Latvia?
First of all, I would say that meeting Krista Audere was my just highlight of everything, because she is just the amazing conductor, and we sang together program with Bach, and I've sang solo there with her in one motet. And also the next time that she came next year, we also sang in Petra Baznica here. From my favorite tours, one of it was last year in Ireland with Maris Sirmais. We sang Irish music, also some music by Rona Clark in Requiem, also some, I remember probably some solo that I liked the most to sing. Also, last year we had trip in Switzerland, and we sang Te Deum by Benjamin Britten, also with some beautiful soprano solo. I just enjoy very much to sing this stuff and to be appreciated also by our chief conductor. And I understand that this is something that I very much like about State Choir Latvia, because we are flexible in the repertoire. we are singing as some big forms like Mahler and Beethoven and some this kind of stuff, as well as a chamber music. For example, I think 2 years ago we had a trip to Belgium, and there was a small staff of State Choir Latvia, about like 28 people went, and we sang the same chamber music, but with a different staffs, and it was totally different feeling and different kind of ensemble, different sound. And it was also one of the greatest concerts. And I am so grateful that Marius Sirmais also took some Ukrainian pieces in that concert, like Viruju by Victoria Polova. This popularization of Ukrainian culture abroad with such a choir and such a conductor, it's big honor and big deal.
Have you actually had a chance to, I don't know, influence Marius Sirmais, show him some pieces of Ukrainian choir music that he has taken up, put in the repertoire? Or how does that work in State Choir Latvia?
Thanks to Marius Sirmais and to Marius Vošlis, director, we had the opportunity to sing Ukrainian music quite often for the last 3 years. And also some repertoire actually came further, not only to one concert, but Marius Sirmais liked it and he took it to the other concerts. As I told you about that Victoria Polova piece, he loves it very much and he takes it from time to time. I wouldn't say that it's influence, it's just you just bring something new to a person who did a lot of music, and if it's good, he will take it and he will share it also with the world.
In 2023, there was the National Song and Dance Festival. Had you had a chance to participate in that event?
Yeah, I had the chance. At the time, I worked in Choir Juventus, and we won a first prize in Choru Kari, an achievement. And after that, I've been to Song and Dance Festival as a listener. I wanted to experience from that side, first of all, because this is such a huge Latvian tradition, and I felt that one of the greatest things is that most of the people and most of songs people are singing by heart. So it wasn't about me singing in a choir and trying to keep up and trying to just be in this huge, massive art situation, but I wanted to experience this from the listener side and see this love and this passion and this sincerity that comes from all of the singers. And that was something incredible. I can't even express it. I think no one can express it if they're not being there at least once.
In 3 years is the next one. Will you take part?
I don't know, but I know that I need to bring my mother here for this. I know that she's also a musician, and I just feel that she needs to experience this in this lifetime, for sure.
Now I want to ask a question you already mentioned a little bit, but now when you have been in Latvia for 3 years, you're speaking Latvian, singing in Latvian, being involved in the Latvian cultural life, Do you have a picture of the similarities and differences between the Latvian and Ukrainian cultures?
Yes, I have many thoughts about that, starting with the songs and the heritage like that we have in common. So many folk songs adapting for the choir, and so many stories that we can experience from the songs. And what I found interesting that in Latvia, there is so much more cheerful folk songs, because what I compared to Ukrainian tradition, and it's that we have in Ukraine so many things that are tragic, that are painful, that are went somewhere and died, and someone is crying and suffering. And I also understood that it's also like the historic and situation, because we had, I would say, closer look to be neighbors with Russia, and so many things happened during our history that makes our folk heritage so tragic. We have some cheerful things also, of course, but it's like percentage more tragic. And if talk about day-to-day life, then I would say that we in Ukraine need to learn how to cherish music heritage, our choir singing more from Latvia, because you have such a great stable support from the people, from government, from everything. Like, it's a great thing to honor your heritage so much. I would say that we have many things to honor, and we just need to learn it, to do it properly.
And this is actually interesting point you brought up, because on the one hand, As you mentioned, Ukrainians and Latvians have this common history with Russia. Russia trying to oppress not only our countries, but our culture, our languages. But at the same time, for example, when you hear people in Russia saying that there is no real language, Ukrainian language is not a language, Ukrainians are not a nation. But if you look at the documents, and you can correct me now, if it's more than 200 or close to 300 decrees, official documents that were put out by Russia, trying to forbid the Ukrainian language, right? That is why you think there are more tragic songs and stories in Ukraine than in Latvia, yeah?
Yes, of course. It's all combined. And it happened like for centuries. It's not some one or two or three situations. It happened like so many times. And also not only Ukrainian language and all that happens like with literature, with burning books, burning libraries and stuff. There is few reportage about how they changed the surnames of people. Surnames when ended like in Ukrainian way, PMR, I'm like Prokopenko, like you need to end it on ko and let's make it Ukrainian. And they change it to like Prokopyev. So in documents, they literally changed humans' lives. In that way, they changed history because after that, they could like see a register, oh, there is more Russians because of this surname. So like many, many things, horrible things were happening and lives were just ruined. I don't know, because of hatred, because of evil, because of people want to have something that don't belong to them.
But Ukrainian culture has experienced renaissance. Is that correct? How do you see it?
I would say that it is correct. From my circle of friends, many who were speaking Russian primarily before war, they switched to Ukrainian. Also, Ukrainian music are thriving in a popular also way. Like there is artists that are brought up to the surface and many people just woke up from this hallucination that Russian culture is what it's dissimilar to us and it's the same. It's not the same. And we finally got our foot more stable in the ground on that matter. Yeah. So that is happening. That is totally true.
I follow the news every day, but at the same time, I probably can switch it off. Right? If I have my kid's birthday, I'm not going to think about Ukraine at that time, right? But how is it for Ukrainians? You have loved ones in cities that are being bombed. You have friends who are fighting in front line. But at the same time, you still need to stay sane, right? If you consume the news of war all the time, you will go insane, right? That's my idea. How is that experience of caring, of following, but at the same time, not going insane?
What I found solution, or how can I say, like for myself personally, that the greatest thing is to have friends and colleagues that can like turn off your head for a minute and just like went for a coffee and just like talk about something else. That helps. But also for me personally, I found out that if I think about making some charity concert or some donation and I will donate to some organization on that day, basically almost every day, just to make peace with myself, that I know that I helped somehow. I can't help with my thoughts and my suffering, and I even don't have the right to suffer because there are people suffering. I'm not one of them, so I need to do something. I need to help somehow. I need to change something that I am able to change, to talk about Ukrainian culture with someone, to share some scores, I don't know, to influence someone in some way. So this is the thing that I found helpful to myself, because if you do nothing and if you just read, you just feel helpless and you just like boiling in this whole mess of news, that definitely won't change anything and it won't help anyone.
If you get homesick, is there a place in Latvia where you can go and feel a bit like in home?
Recently, I found that place. It's in Zilie Kalni. There is a trace from Ikštele, right near the station of Ikštele. There's like 5 minutes and you are entering the forest. And for me, it's very, very similar to my village where my grandparents lives. And it was my childhood. I spent there. So right now it's one of the sweetest nostalgia place that I have. I go there quite often just to experience that.
Is there something you want to say, use this chance and say what I haven't asked maybe?
I want to say hi to Matis, who suggested to you to have this interview with me. I'm very grateful. And he's a great colleague, and he's one of the most sincere and huge supporters of Ukraine, not only with his thoughts, but with his deeds. And I'm very, very grateful to him for that.
Time to time, we ask our guests, what should I wish you personally? Of course, victory against the occupiers, but for you personally, what should we wish?
Safety for my family. Totally egoistic, but okay. Yeah, if it's not about the great scale of victory and like in that way, it's the most important thing.
Okay, that's what we wish to you. Thank you so much for speaking to Latvian Radio. And maybe you have some concerts coming up with some Ukrainian music that our listeners could go to, if you have some.
Yes, actually, we will have one on June 15, 15 junija, Riga Salons Muzika. Tur bus koncerti ar Eld Muzika ansamblis. Tas ir senas muzikas ansamblis, kur mēs dziedāsim Ukrainas un Eiropas baroka mūziku. Tur būs ļoti skaisti, mēs jau dziedājam Latvijas radio vienreizi broadcast bija, un arī bija dažādi koncerti Rīga un Igaunijā ar šito ansambli, un priecašus jūs redzēt tur 15. junijā 7.
Lieliski, aicinu arī mūsu klausītājs pievienoties un redzēt jau Natāliju klātienē. Paldies, Natālija!
Paldies jums!
Raidieraksts drošinātājs.
Paldies Dievu par lielisko interviju, paldies, protams, arī Natālijai, jo bez viņas, protams, šī intervija arī nevarētu notikt. Ja tu man prasītu kādu vienu lietu, kas man ir nosaukt, kas man ir palikusi visspilgtāk atmiņā no intervijas, tas laikam ir tas interesantais, dīvainais, sarežģītais fakts, jeb apstāklis, ko minēja Natālija, ka lai cik šis karš nebūtu postošs, smags un ko tas daudziem ir nodarījis, viņas dzīvē tas ir pārvērties par kaut ko labu. Viņas dzīvē tas ir radījis pilnīgi jaunas, pozitīvas, nebijušas izmaiņas, ko viņa nekad nebūtu gaidījusi un domājusi, un arī līdz kurām viņa nebūtu nonākusi, ja šis karš nebūtu noticis. Un viņa arī pati atzīst, ka nu, tā tiešām ir tāda interesanta dīvaina sajūta, kā ar to īsti sadzīvot, ko par to īsti domāt, ka tā tas ir sagadījies. Ko es varu teikt? Man tikai prieks par Natāliju.
Nē, nu tepat laikā atceramies, Natālija teica, ka vienīgais un galvenais, ko viņa gribētu, ir drošība saviem tuviniekiem. Skaidrs, ka viņa iemainīt jebko pret iespēju, lai Ukraina atkal būtu miers un uzvar šajā karā, bet tas jau ir cits stāsts. Ja jums šķiet, ka būtu ļoti svarīgi, lai vēl kāds noklausās šo sarunu ar Natāliju, tad padalieties ar saiti uz šo epizodi. Un atcerieties, Natālija mums ieteica viens no mūsu klausītājiem, tā kā arī jūs varat droši ieteikt cilvēkus, ar kuriem būtu vērts ieslīgt tādā garākā sarunā un kur būtu vērts noklausīties arī citiem. Tādēļ rakstiet mums uz drošinātājs at Latvijas Radio LV vai lietojiet Mirkļbirga drošinātājs sociālajos tīklos, spiediet zvaigznīci īkšķīšas, kas un kurā platformā ir aktuāli. Un tiksimies atkal pēc nedēļas, ceturtdienās, kā vienmēr iznāk raidieraksts straumēšanas platformās un Latvijas radio mobilajā lietotnē, bet tiem, kuri neklausās mūsu straumēšanas platformās, tiem droši iesakiet klausīties mūsu Latvijas radio pirmajā kanālā katru piekdienas 6:15 vakarā.
Jā, un noteikti varēsiet arī nedēļas nogalē, ja tā jau nav pagājusi, kad klausāties šo ierakstu, izlasīt arī noteikti portālā lsm.lv šo te interviju, tā kā arī to iesaku darīt. Tev vēl divu noslēgumā arī, kas bilstams, bet es gan jau atvados, novēlu priecīgas un mierīgas lieldienas, novēlu ne tikai izšopoties, bet arī izdziedāties kārtīgi, iespējams ne tikai kādas latviešu tautas dziesmas, bet varbūt arī pienācis laiks apgūt kādu ukraiņu tautas dziesmu vai dziesmu. Jā, tiekamies jau pavisam drīz un divu tev vēl ceļu vārdi.
Jā, paldies tev, Rihard, paldies klausītājiem. Saku jums visu labu sadzirdēšanos pēc nedēļas, bet atvadīties es gribētu ar pavisam nelielu fragmentu no Natālijas jau pieminētā koncerta Īrijā, kopā ar Valsts akadēmisko koru Latvija. Šeit varēsiet dzirdēt viņas solo Ronas Klārkas Rekviemā. Vislabu un atcerieties, drošinātājs tas ir skaidri un personīgi par karu Ukrainā. Raidieraksts drošinātājs.